Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Toronto fans, welcome to this Memorial Day Buddhist special edition of the show. Hopefully everyone's enjoying their Memorial Day and getting out there and celebrating and remembering the veterans that we lost. But without further ado, I want to welcome our guest on. He's had a variety of names in his wrestling career. I know him as one of my favorites. Charles Garland, welcome to Turnbuckle Turmoil for the first time.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Now, since it's your first time for some odd reason on our show, I'm going to start you off with the first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Just the beauty of it. Athleticism. Just looked amazing. People would go and people would put their hearts and souls into something and tell such a nice story that, I mean, you just can't help but sit at the edge of your seat and really want to just put yourself into.
Now, getting into professional wrestling, did you have any sort of background as far as athletics or drama or anything that would translate into pro wrestling, or did professional wrestling become the jumping off point for you?
We had like drama classes in high school, and you know, I tried out for the teams in high school, but no, wrestling was mainly the jumping off point.
Now, in your career, I know there were some injuries that came along the way. Injuries just are part of the business. They happen to everybody at some point if they spent any length of time in the wrestling business. What were some of the injuries that you had?
Most were superficial. I needed stitches quite a few times. I busted my nose, I separated my shoulders, cracked a couple of ribs. But I was lucky enough not to get any real broken bones. I twisted my ankle real bad. I was lucky enough not to break any bones, not to have any, like, of the major muscle tears. So I guess I kind of got out lucky on that one.
Indeed. Now, I know you started out there at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, and they would bring in a lot of bigger names, usually one name per show and so forth. And you ventured out to a few different promotions in your day. As far as big nationally known names, who are some of the ones that you got to work with?
I never got to work like in the ring with him, but I've been on the same card as Sabu. He was probably the biggest. Conway, there was a couple. Gilbert, Dutch Mantel.
Not a bad list of people right there for sure. Now, in your day, you wrestled a lot of tag matches, but you also had a good singles run as well. what would you estimate was the longest match that you had to wrestle as far as one-on-one?
There was, I mean, I've done some battle royals and, stuff like that, that went for, you know, 35, 40 minutes. Me and, Chris Caliber, before he was Chris Caliber, we had a couple where, you know, we went about 30 minutes, and it was, as soon as we start, it was nonstop until the end. So, it was 30 minutes of go, 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 go. He was a really, really good person to work with. Brad Lehman, we had some that probably went 35, 45 minutes. He was another one that was really, really good. Again, and it was like, once you hit it, it's go, 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 go. Not a whole lot of rest spots or anything like that.
Well, that's just insane. Now,
yeah,
you work in front of a lot of really good crowds, I know, especially earlier on in your career. Crowds were pretty big back then. What would you estimate was the best crowd as far as attendance that you ever worked in front of?
We had quite a – I never really did any big shows. But, I mean, we had crowds 500, 600, and they – to be honest, some of the ones that – I mean, even at Hoosier Pro Wrestling – the ones that really just got into it, I think it seemed better for me than the ones, like, even if you had 50 people as opposed to 1,000 people. As long as they were getting into it, you felt like you were doing a better job.
Now, in pro wrestling, as we both know, a show can be held wherever a promoter can stick a ring. There's good places where they put rings, and there are bad places where they put rings to run shows. I know you've been in several different venues in your day. What was the worst venue where you had to wrestle?
There was a couple of outside festivals that we went to that was probably the worst. And, you know, it's July and August, and, you know, it's 90, 95 degrees outside. It gets a little rough, but safety was a big one. I don't know why the enclosed places are so – I've been hit twice out, you know, working outside. I don't know if it's the sun that gets to people, but in terms of worst conditions outside – at a couple of the festivals, I've been, fans have swung on me, you know, two or three times.
You also had, I'm sure, some really good experiences with fans over your career. What's a moment or two with the fans that really stick out as special moments to you?
Actually, Chris Caliber, when I first really met him and his brother Billy, they were going to the shows, and it was, you know, it was late, and I was getting out of there, and they always stuck around and talked to people, and they, like, just sitting down, just talking about what I like to watch, you know, and what they liked. That was probably the best time. I mean, I could, when I sat down with Billy and Andy, you know, it was, you know, after a show, the show would end at 9 o'clock, and we could be out till 2 or 3 in the morning just talking about, you know, what we did on the show, what we liked on the show, what versus what we were liking. So any kind of interaction with any of the fans was good, but those are probably like memories that I'll cherish for forever.
Well, we hit a moment on this show that I think you're perfect for. There is a sound clip to set up the next segment of the show, so I'm going to hit the sound clip real quick.
I tell you, one of my favorite moments is me and my little brother and Jerry Wilson, we went down to TNA in Nashville, and we got in there, and I just happened to be in the bathroom, using the bathroom, and I was talking to Chase Stevens, which I'd known him when he first started wrestling there as Glacius, you know, I helped him get a start, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden his voice, it comes out of the shitter.
Everybody that came around Ox Harley has that Ox Harley moment. What is your Ox Harley moment?
Ox Harley was a hell of a guy, I think. I was going over my match and And I asked him, I talked to him, and he was just like, well, I'd have done it like this, or, you know, this is what we would have done. Any time I've ever talked to him, I've never been, you know, like, well, you know, this guy's crazy. Always insightful, hilarious. I love talking to him. I love being around him. He's a hell of a guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nobody else like Ox Harley anywhere in the world. Now, in your career, like I mentioned, you did a lot of tag team wrestling. You were a member of the Loose Screws with the aforementioned Chris Caliber before he was Chris Caliber. Did you have a personal preference when it came to tag team wrestling versus singles wrestling?
No, as long as I got to, for me back then, it was all about play. If I could get out there and get in the ring, didn't matter really, honestly, who I worked with or who I was working for. If I got to get out there and play for 10, 15 minutes or even 5 minutes, I was okay with that. It didn't matter if I was, you know, opening the curtain or closing the card. I didn't care. It's all fun. I mean, once you step through the ropes and you got 5 minutes, it was fun. So I didn't care.
Well, we've hit the part of the show where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely came across in your career. The first word or two that pops into your mind to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Absolutely.
Here we go. First name, Jason Ayers.
Sponge. He soaked up everything. He was always there, always listening, always, I mean, I've seen guys putting their time in, doing things, just, you know, really trying to pick up what they're learning, you know. And that guy, I mean, he could just sit and just take it all in.
Luscious Lonnie Lee.
Amazing. I've talked to him a couple of times since. He's doing some music now. He's really good. Word for him. Just luscious. He used to make me laugh. I have a lot of respect for him in and out of the ring. I like him. He's a hell of a guy.
Roger Blade.
Beginning. He was the first person I talked to about getting into it. He was the first person that that gave me the chance, that gave me an opportunity to step in there, show me what was going on. So beginnings would be a good word for him. He was there from from the start, and he showed me a lot.
Just insane.
Insane. Great. I loved working with him. I loved working against him all the way around.
Lady Luck.
Pretty. Pretty. And classy. I'd go with classy. She came back and, you know, she was never, she never had that diva mindset when she was in the back. She was good people.
Roy Presley.
Good. Just wholesome.
About it, kid.
That's a good one for him. Fun. He had a lot of he had a lot of spark in him. I did like working with him. I remember once in Madison, it was supposed to be a screw job finish. He wrapped a chain around his fist and you know, put me down. And he was into it, I was into it, and he, you know, went just a little too hard and caught me in the face. And it was hard enough that, like, the chain that he wrapped around his hand left little Lincoln dents in my face, little bruise that you could see what it was that hit me. And I wanted to be mad, and I was very mad because at the time, you know, not everything was going great for me, you know, in the business. So I wanted to be mad, but then again, I knew him for a little bit, and I couldn't stay mad at him. But I went back and I yelled at him, and almost as soon as I started yelling and getting it out, I started laughing about it, and I was just like, this is dumb. You know, it was an accident. Accidents happen.
Iceman Ronnie Vegas.
Helpful. Dice Man was there when I separated my shoulder, and I was freaking out. I could not pick up my arm, and I remember him looking at me, and he was like, "Hey, bro, you got to calm down. I mean, it's not going to help anything. You're not going to get nowhere. You need to chill, and you know, take a breath and go and get looked at, man." I mean, he was helpful. I mean, he really was there to calm me down. So I got a lot of respect for him for that.
Bobo Brazil Jr.
Oh, man. I got really two words for him. Great. And it's because he's got a big heart. He's just, you know, a great guy. And I loved working for him. I worked for him a couple of times. I loved working with him. I worked with him a couple of times. He's a heck of a guy. The other word for that is scary, because the first time I met him, he had a little bit of a verbal with somebody, and it wasn't quite kosher, and he was a scary man when he gets pissed off. And that didn't happen very often at all. I mean, he was able to keep his cool a lot more, a lot easier than I could have in some of the situations. But the first time I met him, he might have just ripped somebody's butt a little bit. And then I turned around, I'm just like, hi. And he was just like, hey, bro. And I'm like, damn.
The last name on the list, Brad Layman.
Friend, man. He's been there for me for everything. He was there when I started. I talked to him when I stopped. I know he lives pretty far away from me. He's about 2 hours away from me. And last year, you know, when my mom passed away, I was just like, hey, brother, you know, this is what's going on. And he stopped what he was doing, and he was there for me for the worst time. And he was also, he dropped everything and came down when I got married that few months later. He was my best friend. He was there for me at the same time, you know. He's a friend. He's there for everything for me.
Well, I know you had to cut this a little bit short today, but I want to thank you very much for being on. Pleasure hearing from you. It's been way, way, way too long. I always enjoyed going out and watching you perform. You know, I want to thank you for your time in the business. And if there's anything at all you want to say to the listeners, if you want to plug anything in the world, no matter what it is, the floor is all yours.
Just be true to yourself, man. Follow your heart. If you want to get into it, get into it. Don't listen to naysayers. You don't need muscle. You don't need to do anything crazy. Just be yourself and do it. But have fun with it.
All right. Well, Charles Garland, I want to thank you one more time for being on today. I appreciate it greatly. Hopefully we'll be able to get you back on and do this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Fans, if you haven't, get on there, look up some of his old matches if you can find them. He always gave it his all. It was always an absolute pleasure to watch him work. I was there right in the beginning, saw a bunch of his matches, so I know exactly how good and how entertaining he was. So get out there, search it. I'm sure there's something out there. We'll be back with you on Friday afternoon. We got Diamond Dan Garza coming to the show for the first time. Should be an absolute blast with him. Enjoy your Memorial Day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks.